This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Sophie. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Inflation and Federal Reserve policy are top of mind for investors these days, and Wall Street has been calling for a host of interest rate cuts from the Fed, many predicting at least three before the end of the year. I don't see it happening like that, and either does our guest today. I'm Andy Gersher, and this is Gains. All right, we're talking inflation and the Federal Reserve. So let's bring on David Jones, chairman of DMJ Advisors in Denver and author of the book, Understanding Central Banking. David, always great to have you on the Gains podcast.
Nice to be with you.
So, David, as I mentioned in the lead, all eyes on Wall Street are on the Fed and the central bank's interest rate policy. And a lot of analysts have been calling for at least three rate cuts before the end of the year. And I've been saying this on the Gains podcast for a while now. I don't buy it for one second, especially in a presidential election year. And I don't even think it's necessary at this point. But you've worked in the Fed. You're the Fed expert. What's your read on the central bank's policy going forward?
Well, I think the key is, once again, as we have done so many times in the past, let's listen to the Fed chairman. Powell said most recently we're in a wait-and-see condition. We are ready to start cutting rates, but the outlook remains very uncertain. It's an amazing economy, I would add in my own words. It's expanding at a solid pace, remarkably resilient. The labor market continues to be unbelievably strong, adding my own words to it. And so I think what the Fed chairman feels is, yes, I'm ready to cut rates, but I'm not going to cut rates when the economy is as strong as it is. And I guess I would end with, I like that Dallas Fed president, Logan, I think her name is. She said there's no rush to cut rates, much too soon to worry about cutting rates. So, you know, I think that takes, the market was betting on, the market had finally realigned with the Fed's estimate of three rate cuts before the end of the year and probably starting in June. But I think that June date is really questionable. That would move us probably till after the election. You could go in November because the Fed's meeting is right after the, I think the election's on November 5th and the Fed's meeting is on the 7th. They could cut once then, and I suppose they could cut in December, but now you're talking two at the most. And at the moment, I think the Fed feels the economy is so strong they don't need to cut at all.
David, I couldn't agree with you more. Save those cuts for when we really need them. The Fed says they're data dependent, as you mentioned, and the data is telling me no way are they going to cut interest rates to the degree a lot of analysts and traders on Wall Street are forecasting by the end of the year. I mean, bottom line, I believe Wall Street is misreading this in a very big way.
That's absolutely true. You know, a lot of Wall Street has been looking for a recession for a long time. That certainly did not pan out. We had really quite a remarkable performance last year. I think, what did we end up with in 2003? GDP growth of about 3.1%. And the big surprise was the government spending was 4.3%, even stronger than the economy. That's highly unusual. And we're still looking at strong government spending and areas like medical care in the economy that are quite strong. So all things considered, I just don't think there's a good case for cutting rates anytime soon.
And this is while we have a pretty decent labor market as well. The jobs market has been holding up, and that's certainly a factor here as well.
Oh, without any question. And now they're starting to see some of the massive labor coming illegally across our border showing up. I'm really suspicious of the government's figures in this area. I think they'll try to fudge them into not taking into account as much as, in fact, is being done with regard to imported labor. And as you say, the general picture in labor, in the labor market, is remarkably strong. What did we have, a 3.8% unemployment rate?
Yes, yes. It dipped down a little bit. The latest one down, unemployment rate dropped from 3.9 to 3.8%. So, I mean, you got a pretty tight labor market. You were kind of touching on it. You said imported labor. Explain that. That is a factor here that I've seen pop up as of late.
I'm just highly suspicious that, first of all, the government, I do not think, is willing to reveal the statistics on how many work permits they're giving out to this massive inflow of illegal potential employees coming in across the southern border, and I think that's both bad news and good news. The bad news is that could well the imported labor could well be replacing domestic labor at some point, and also that is going to depress wages.
I was going to say that the biggest factor is the wages. Go ahead.
That's good news in the sense that it keeps wages down as a factor on the inflation side. But you know, we're not home free on that inflation number either. I think we get another one tomorrow, on Wednesday of this week. I think the estimate is now 3.4% year over year for that number. That's still too high in the Fed's eyes. And that would be another reason. In essence, what the Fed is saying is, look, we're not ready to cut rates till we see a significant weakening in the economy and until we're absolutely convinced that inflation is headed down to our 2% target. And that's another factor. Those are other factors that are postponing those rate cuts that the market has been dreaming about.
If the Fed doesn't cut rates, I mean, that does show a sign of market strength. And again, you don't want to just cut rates for the sake of cutting.
That's exactly right. That's a perfect way to say it.
And then again, one other factor in all of this, this is a presidential election year. We got the election coming up at the end of the year here, towards the end of the year. The Fed often wants to avoid the perception that they have any hand on tipping the scale in a presidential election year, and how, as you get close to the election, that can impact things as well.
That's exactly right. And there are those in the market who always accuse the Fed of being very political, but in fact, it's the opposite in my view. I've been watching that Fed in a lot of election years. I won't even admit how many it's been, but the Fed tries as hard as it possibly can. And I was probably closer to Greenspan than any other Fed chairman, but he was always so cautious not to be perceived as in any way adjusting policy close to an election so that he could be accused of being political.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. Hey, be sure to subscribe, follow, and leave us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts if that's an option for you. And as always, subscribe and turn on those notifications so you know when a new Gains episode drops. We drop Gains episodes on Wednesday mornings. We'll be right back after the break.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code MAN at checkout. That's harrys.com, code MAN. Enjoy.
All right, back with David Jones, chairman of DMJ Advisors in Denver and author of the book Understanding Central Banking. All right, so we kind of talked about the setup here, but what's this mean for stocks? So what's your view on markets and the economy, you know, in the back end of the year here?
Well, we just have to admit that the stock market has been great because earnings have been great, and earnings have been great because of that economy that is doing so well, as we just talked about. And I don't see any big change in that process. I will admit that that in my view, the stock market is getting a little ahead of itself. It's been so strong. And the one thing that I'm starting to worry about some is the risk of an event on the foreign front that that could come back to bite investors. You know, everything has been going so smoothly for us in terms of how that market has been behaving, but that international scene is really starting to worry me. The latest being that Israel is going to attack that city in the south of Gaza, despite what President Biden wants to argue that they shouldn't. And we could see some really unsettled conditions beginning to arise on the global side, which would pose some risk to the stock market. Now, to the extent that foreign money will pour into the U.S. because we have the best economy in the world, any instability could be offset by flight to safety globally. But I just think things may get a little rougher on the foreign risk side than the market is betting on.
Geopolitical risk often can hit energy and some other things as well. Beyond, you know, that geopolitical risk, what was the biggest risk to markets right now? There's some other things out there I'm thinking, like office buildings that are empty, and a lot of them, and the commercial real estate issue that a lot of people don't talk about. So what kind of risks do you see to the market, and do you see that commercial real estate as a big issue?
I see it as an issue. So far, we've been able to handle that. The banks have been able to handle that better than I thought they would. The big banks aren't affected as much. The regional banks do have a problem because regional loans, regional commercial loans are a bigger proportion of loans at regional banks than in the case of the largest banks. But I do see that as a possibility. I just think that we've seen such smooth sailing in the markets so far, and so much strength that I'm just a little bit worried that something's going to come back and bite us. But I'm not, in terms of the numbers you and I are talking about, so far so good is the way I would see it. And the stock market has been benefiting greatly from that.
Well, that's Wall Street, but then you also have Main Street and the economy. And we've talked about inflation, which has cooled some, not at the same rate. But one area that's sticky and one area that hits, you know, lower income folks more so than even the rest of us is food inflation. And that is sticky.
And I would add,
and energy.
I don't want to interrupt, but I would add also energy.
Yes.
So you put those two together. I know they try to take those two numbers out in the core inflation measure, but I think that's incorrect at this point. Energy, once again, is going to come back to bite us because of Biden's outrageously stupid energy policy. Energy prices have been weak for a while, but I knew they would come back stronger again because Biden is attacking our fossil fuel industries. And I think that's gonna haunt us as well, and particularly make inflation stickier than the Biden officials want it to be.
Yeah, I agree with you there. Also, something not a lot of talk about. They talk about draining the Strategic Petroleum Reserve. I've looked at recent levels, and they are significantly lower than they were several years ago. And on top of that, with energy policy, you know, that's exploration. And when you start getting aggressive on and you start becoming anti-fossil fuel, you don't have the explorers, you know, have the incentive to look like they once did. And so this takes time to play out because the front end starts cooling off. I mean, wells are already together in production that is existing. Yes, that's going full blast. But by demonizing oil and petroleum, you've really cut off the, you know, finding new sources. And I think that's kind of what I'm sensing. It may come along here now, and that takes a couple years to kind of play out, and we're starting to see that, and that could really be a factor. God forbid geopolitical issues even get bigger.
That's exactly right. For a while, Biden, I think for political reasons, has been allowing production of oil domestically to be stronger than I would have thought. I think we're up to 13.3 million barrels per day. That's a record. But I think it's all political. And as soon as we're past that election, it'll change unless we change presidents. And that danger of limits on domestic oil production will come back to haunt us as well in terms of the potential for higher inflation.
They've also demonized the investment. And that's what I'm thinking, the explorers and demonizing the investment in these companies as well. It takes a couple years, but the lack of new inventory coming on. And I'm with you. I'm glad to see they haven't, as far as energy production that's, you know, already in place, they haven't been as hard on it as I thought they would. But again, we're you know, there's not the incentive that there was before to go out and find new projects and to make those big investments. And that's where I see the big risk.
As the Republicans say, drill, drill, drill. There's none of that in the Biden administration.
Are there any other factors here that concern you? You know, we've talked about energy, geopolitical issues. We've talked about the strong jobs market, the strong stock market. But again, individuals, especially on the lower income side, aren't feeling that. How does that square with everything as well?
The fact that inflation remains sticky and the fact that we have to always remember that prices are still extremely high. They're just not rising at the same rate they used to. we just have to keep that in mind. So yeah, at the grocery store, you're still paying prices that are 20% higher than last year.
That's an important point. You know, they always say, well, inflation is cooling. Yes, it's not accelerating at the same rate it was before, but it's not like those prices are going back. I mean, the toothpaste is out of the tube, you know, on a lot of that. So it's not like we're going to see relief and see food prices drop. It's just they're not accelerating at the same level. If, you know, in fact, if they did continue to accelerate at the levels they were going back a year or two, we wouldn't be able to afford to eat. Most people wouldn't even be able to afford groceries at all. So, explain that, too.
Exactly right. So we cannot forget that reality. And again, that comes back to the how sticky inflation really can be, even at this point. So there are some risks. All things considered, we have a resilient economy. We have a good stock market. We have a Fed that at least is ready to cut rates when it thinks it's appropriate. And those are all good conditions, but we have to beware because I just have this uneasy feeling about risks that we aren't adequately anticipating beginning to close the party down.
We always talk about the potential of a black swan event. And you were kind of maybe even alluding to this a bit too. Something completely out of the blue that we don't see coming. Thoughts on a potential black swan event?
Oh, absolutely. You know, we remember one from 2009 very vividly, that credit crisis back in those days.
Yes.
Stemming from the mortgage market. We never should forget how vicious that crisis was.
Final forecast for the Gains listener as we try to kind of get a sense on where things are. Where do you think inflation's heading? And finally, after we're all said and done, what does the Fed do here in the balance of the year? Your forecast, David.
I think we're stuck on inflation in that, what would we say, 2.5 to 3% range,
yeah.
And that's too high for the Fed as it attempts to bring inflation down to that 2% target. And that means the Fed will delay rate cuts much longer than the market thinks. And there'll be fewer cuts than the market thinks over the near term. And I just think uncertainty will stem from foreign events that we didn't anticipate, particularly with regard to Iran and the potential for a blow up between Israel and Iran, particularly.
Big thanks to David Jones, chairman of DMJ Advisors in Denver and author of the book Understanding Central Banking. Well, that's going to wrap up today's Gains podcast. Hey, be sure to subscribe, follow, and leave us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts if that's an option for you. And as always, subscribe and turn on those notifications so you know when a new Gains episode drops. We drop Gains episodes on Wednesday mornings, and I look forward to seeing you then.
A News Radio WBBM podcast, powered by Odyssey.